With me by phone from her home in Rhode Island is the author of a new book from Schiffer Publishing entitled Ohio's Haunted Crimes, an exploration of 10 haunted crime scenes. Kat Kloko, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Let's begin with a look back at when and how your interest in the paranormal began.
Well, I was interested in the paranormal at age 9. After I had my first paranormal experience when I saw a ghost in my parents' house in northern Indiana.
Well, that's exciting. So have you done a lot of reading about ghosts since then?
I did. I'll be honest, when I was a little kid, I didn't do a lot of reading. But after having this encounter with the ghost, I started collecting haunted history books from around Indiana and Ohio. And soon my parents' friends, when they would be traveling, would find haunted location books. They're history books, but they're all about ghosts, from all around the world. So now my particular collection of haunted history books by a variety of authors is over 300 books in my own personal library.
So researching, finding the history of these buildings and locations is very important for the research that you did on this book.
Exactly. I find telling the ghost stories is a great way of spreading history to people that otherwise may be a little bit turned off by how large our history can encompass. People are strange, and strange things happen, and sometimes the best stories are things that really did occur to our forefathers and foresisters. It's been fantastic researching for Ohio's haunted crimes because you get to learn a lot about Ohio's very colorful history.
And your Ohio Haunted Crimes book features 10 locations that you've researched. The first one is here in Cincinnati and features George Remus in Eden Park, and he was certainly a fascinating character.
Oh, yes, he was. He was very interesting. Now, this is the first chapter in the book, and it's one of the reasons why I decided to write the book. When I moved to Cincinnati from Indiana, the story of the Lady in Black in Eden Park was one of the first stories told to me. And it just got my mind wandering about what happened. How did this particular incident occur? He was a very interesting fellow. He was a German immigrant who got his start in Chicago. He actually was a brilliant businessman. He bought a bunch of pharmacies that his family originally owned, and then he enlarged the company. And then by the age of 24, he sold all the pharmacies, made a tiny sum of money. He still had his pharmacy license and then became a lawyer. And he became such a flamboyant character in the Chicago crime scene because he was a criminal defense lawyer. And he's very much like the character from Chicago, the defense lawyer in that musical. He was very flamboyant. He used very interesting tactics to get his defendants off of whatever they were being indicted for. And it was like watching a show during the trial. So eventually what happened is he was married to a woman named Vivian, but ran into Imogene, who was from New York City, and she worked at the deli that he went to. And eventually she became his secretary. They had an affair. They both got divorced from their respective spouses and moved down to Cincinnati, where George Remus resumed his law practice, but then got into the bootleg liquor business, seeing how his clients were making quite a mint from it. And he became very well known as being a king of bootleggers, until he was arrested and taken to the federal prison in Atlanta, where basically the U.S. government, well, there was a spy who was doing undercover work in the prison system, romanced Imogene and got her to sell and liquidate all of Remus's assets. So in 1927, when they were embroiled in their divorce proceedings, they hadn't seen each other in 2 years. But they ran into each other en route to the divorce court where they had to make an appearance to make their divorce finalized. And during this time, George Remus was in a chauffeured car and Imogene Remus was in a taxi coming from Walnut Hills. and they were driving through Eden Park when he caught hold of her taxi. The small, I'm going to say, car chase happened. It wasn't exactly a high-speed car chase through Cincinnati, but they ended up crashing in Eden Park near that gazebo. That's when George Remus got out of his car, took Imogene by the wrist, and shot her. She survived, but died during surgery 2 hours later.
And then he got off.
He did get off. It was another one of those great spectacular trials. He got off, but he lived in near obscurity afterwards. And the interesting thing is people have seen Imogene standing in the gazebo or around the pond in Eden Park at dusk around this time of year in October when their divorce proceedings were actually supposed to have happened. And joggers will run through Eden Park around the pond and around the gazebo, or motorists driving through will catch a glimpse of a woman wearing all black, 1920s attire. But when she's approached, she immediately disappears. And I know some ghost hunters and the paranormal enthusiasts have tried to contact her, but she seems to be a very elusive spirit. No one has successfully made contact with her.
And the other location near us is Ryan's Tavern in Hamilton, and you talk about Little Chicago. Give us an overview of this ghost story.
It's a fantastic ghost story. I've visited Ryan's Tavern multiple times on different investigations, and every time I visit, I run into the spirit of what the owners and the staff call Boss. Boss is believed to be he's a very grumpy male spirit, but he's believed to be part of the rum running that happened in Hamilton during the Great Depression, also Prohibition era. So Hamilton got the moniker of Little Chicago because during Prohibition, there were a large amount of underground speakeasies, gambling parlors, and brothels, basically. John Dillinger used Hamilton, Ohio as one of his cooling off spots. When he was too hot, when the different county sheriffs were after him for whatever bank he had heisted, he would go to Hamilton to cool off. And he had a few ladies that he liked, and his gang members all knew to meet him there. And actually, one of his hideouts wasn't too far away from Ryan's Tavern, only a few avenues away. And there is a great story in the book about how the Hamilton police tried to apprehend him but failed. But with the case of Hamilton, with all the bootlegging, they had a great number of deaths, too, because the different rival gangs all used Hamilton as their cooling-off point. But when they ran into each other, there would be gang shootouts. In 1926, 26 people died within 1 month, which at the time was a lot of people, because different rival gangs would be trying to hold up each other's rum-running vehicles. There are also tunnels underneath Main Street Hamilton. Ryan's Tavern is part of this. It's been used for various reasons. No one knows exactly when they were built. They were definitely around during the Civil War. They were very much in use during Prohibition because they would run liquor up and down to take it from the boats that would go to the river to the cars that would be up the hill. And this would be a very easy way of doing it without being seen. And when you had limited access, it was very easy to do without the police knowing about it. So what is Ryan's Tavern now was originally three buildings. They had various tenants in them, everything from a man who sold hops and other ingredients to make your own liquor at home to a shoe shiner and also a restaurant. But right now, Ryan's Tavern is a fantastic Irish pub that's in Hamilton, Ohio. They actually do ghost tours. The basement, which is where all the rum running happened, seems to be the most active. And as I said earlier, there's Boss, who I've seen exit the elevator and also walk into the cemented doorway that used to be the tunnel. I personally witnessed an apparition do this. It's crazy because you don't expect it. You think you have everyone in your group around, and then suddenly some other entity is walking past you. Also, their elevator moves without being called, and it will also hold on floors without being called. Vicki Ryan, who owned the tavern, has, along with her husband, has actually timed the elevator because it should not be functioning this way. It gets checked up every single month. It will hold anywhere between 1 minute to 5 minutes. The doors will hold open. Also, it looks like an entity walking around the cab of the elevator has been spotted, because there's a gap in between the doors and the floor, so you could see easily something walking around. And their fourth floor also is haunted, and you're able to go up there during ghost tours.
These are just two of the chapters that you've mentioned. There are eight more chapters, some of them dealing with prisons and jails. But I'm wondering, how long have you been hosting a radio show about the paranormal?
I have been hosting the Paranormal View radio show every Saturday night since 2012.
And it's on a Para-X radio network?
Yes, Para-X radio network. And you can listen to it every Saturday night at para-x.com. And we also are on iTunes.
So tell us about these shows. Do you do research? Are you, you're in Rhode Island now. Are you checking out the haunted areas up there, which must be myriad? I mean, there must be so many.
Oh, yeah. What we do with the Paranormal View, originally I was a guest on the show for my first book, Haunted Hoosier Halls, Indiana University. And I'm an anthropologist by training. So I am fascinated by how people relate to the dead in various ways, be it ghosts or through funerals or other ceremonies. So they would have me on not only for the book, but also for research I had done into urban legends and other ghost stories. And eventually I became a host. The Paranormal View has gotten bigger. We do a annual event at Gettysburg every April, where we have a Civil War reenactor give us a guided tour through the battlefield, areas that most people do not go to, but there was heavy fighting. And we also have a meet and greet and do a live show from a haunted location. And we take the show on the road to other various haunted locations. I know we've been up to Hillview Manor, which is in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. It is a former county poorhouse and later turned into a nursing home before closing. It is said to be very haunted. We've done shows every fall at Ryan's Tavern. There's also Posttown Elementary School that is in Middletown, Ohio, that is said to be very haunted, and we've done live shows from there. But we also do shows from our own personal studios, basically, at our houses. Because Henry Foister, who's the head host, he's in Trenton, Ohio. I was in Cincinnati up until very recently, and now I'm here in Rhode Island. And our two other hosts are Barbara Duncan and Jeffrey Gould, are both in California. And we all call in every Saturday night to host the show. As for ghost hunting Rhode Island, it is fantastic. As a history buff, I am having so much fun visiting all the colonial and pre-colonial areas of New England. I am a cemetery buff. I like taking cemetery photography and finding the very old, early Puritan headstones with the flying, they're called winged skulls, and how they're all hand-etched in, and reading the epitaphs that are written on them. It's fascinating seeing, it's a small little glimpse into how our colonial ancestors lived. And there's also a lot of Native American culture that is out here. So it's fascinating and fantastic reading about that, about the Great Swamp War. I'm learning a lot about American history that I was not previously aware of.
And is there a new book in the works?
I hope so. I have yet to pick a topic. There are many topics that I want to write about, and that's always my issue. There's so much I want to read about and learn about and share with people. I don't know where to begin. So it's either going to be Indiana's haunted crime, because Indiana, my home state, has some very interesting and colorful historical characters, or my favorite, haunted toilets and where to find them, because for whatever reason, restrooms seem to be one of the most haunted locations in a building. I don't know why, but I've been to numerous locations, Ryan's Tavern included, that have haunted bathrooms, and it tends to be women's restrooms. Bobby Mackey's, which is in Wilder, Kentucky, just across the river from Cincinnati, also has a haunted bathroom. It varies from place to place what occurs at them. Some stall doors will open even if they've been latched. Some people have seen apparitions in the mirror. Some people have had toilets flushing on their own. It's very interesting, the variety of hauntings in restrooms.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight and sharing some of these stories.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful being on.
We've been talking with Kat Kloko, who is the author of a book called Ohio's Haunted Crimes, an exploration of 10 haunted crime scenes. You'll find a link at WDXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.